nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please stay near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto
message this morning, you might think that Sister Kara and I got together to plan that song, but we didn't. That would be the power of the Holy Ghost. Shall we go to the 10th chapter of Romans? Romans 10. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. We shall begin with verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it, that is what saith the righteousness of faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Then if you'll jump down to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report or our preaching? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We would continue these messages on the faith. As we noted in the message last week, there is but one faith, and that is the faith of the Son of God. As we noted, it's an absolute fact that faith emanates from Jesus. Now we see here in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus, faith, and the word, all exactly the same. From the first chapter of John, we read that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Then down in verse 14 of that same wonderful chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so we find that all of these things are indeed in Christ. They are all the Word and faith, both personified or embodied in Jesus. But note this morning that there are a number of verses in Scripture that reveal both the Word and faith almost in one breath. As we see here in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Hebrews 13:7 proclaims it this way. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. and indeed indicating that those who are giving out, those who are preaching this message, this word of God, their faith should be manifest unto those around. As Paul says, you consider the end of their manner of life. Acts 6:7 says it this way, the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and then a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, or indeed obedient to the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And so the word and faith both manifest to and indeed in the saints of God. Find out also that the Apostle Paul, speaking of himself there in Galatians, testifying of those who had only heard of him, and he is one who persecuted them, destroyed them, but now he preaches the faith. If you back up here in our chapter in Romans, to verse 6, we find exactly this same pattern uniting the word and the faith together. And of course, all of them once again embodied or combined in Christ. Verse 6, we read, the righteousness which is of faith. That is none other than Christ himself. And we read, as we see on down here, speaks on this wise, Satan on the heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Again, the word expressing, the word, the righteousness of faith, expressing it this way. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And then again, let us go down to verse 16 where we read, they have not all, this is from Isaiah, they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, the Lord, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our preaching? The preaching of the word, and indeed the preaching of the faith. And so in conclusion to that, the apostle says, so then, after all of this that he has written just here in this chapter, the conclusion is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to enlarge on that verse a little bit this morning, because you see, the word is there, the faith is there, it's up to us to obtain it, to receive it. I know that there are many in our day, or have heard it in our day, and I don't say there's anything, not criticize anyone for praying for more faith, but let us understand the path to that. Sometimes people may be prone to think, just pray and God will just pour all this faith into the heart and we just go on our merry way. But that's not the pattern of the scripture. We find in order to gain faith, it's always through the same pattern. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why men must put such a high premium on God's word. Now, sadly, that's not happening in our day. It's not happening in the world. It's not happening in society. Sadly, it's not happening in the church today. There is not a priority and a premium placed on the depths of God's word, even in the church today. There is a tremendous lack of faith in the church today, and that is the reason. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If that is missing, men are not going to have that attitude. They're not going to have that higher echelon of faith that they need in this world today. And so there are really a number of examples of this pattern in the scripture, that is, of men listening to the word of God and it being transported, so to speak, or transpired, translated into faith. And I think of Mary. We love those beautiful verses pointed out between her and her sister Martha, and how that Jesus commended Mary for having that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That good part lay in the fact that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. She learned of him. And then there in Bethany, before Jesus went to the cross, had a supper for him in Bethany. And it was indeed Mary who arose, who took the alabaster box of ointment, broke it, and anointed him. And as Jesus said, he commended her because she has anointed my body before the burial. The truth of the matter is this: that was an act of faith which stemmed from the fact that she heard his word. If you go through the Gospels, we find over and over again that Jesus testified he was going to the cross. He had to die. He had to be buried. He had to be raised again. But somehow that as many of the disciples lost that along with other people. They lost that knowledge. Mary didn't. She had listened to the word, and therefore her faith was active. And she anointed him before the burial. And indeed, said it would be, she would be commended for that. Where the gospel was preached, it would be a memorial for her. Saul of Tarsus is another who followed this same pattern. We saw that example last week, how that he was struck down on the road to Damascus by the great light. But he heard the voice of Jesus, and his faith responded, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I say again, when this pattern is enacted in our lives, faith comes by hearing. And when we hear the word of God, it indeed translates to faith in our experience. Let us turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews to demonstrate this exact same thing. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians, and it is so important that men understand Hebrews was not written to sinners. Hebrews was written to baby Christians. The Hebrews were those of Israel. They had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had accepted him as their Savior. But they were still clinging to the Old Testament traditions of the law. They were trying to follow that path after the law, even after they were saved. And Paul was doing his best to convert his brethren to lay hold of this same truth, that indeed faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so let us begin here in Hebrews 6 with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, or the teaching of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Again, we see this relationship of the word and faith. What we have here in verse 1 is the solution to a great problem. Paul begins this verse with the little word, therefore. The little word therefore points us back to what has already transpired before. And what was it? Back up to verse 10 of chapter 5. Called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Simply stated, Paul is preaching Christ here. You go back to the Old Testament, you will find that Melchizedek did meet Abraham, or Abraham met him. And we find of Melchizedek, as we see here, he was an high priest. Not just a high priest in Israel, but a high priest over all. He was also a king, as we read back there. Some have said over the years that Melchizedek was Christ, but the scripture tells us here that it is after the order of Melchizedek. One reason for that, again, likeness to Melchizedek, in addition to the priest and the king, there's no recorded beginning or entering, or no recorded mother or father of Melchizedek. He is symbolic of Christ. The eternal Christ is what Paul is trying to bring out here. And he's telling these Hebrews, he is choosing someone with whom they would be familiar in order to identify and to teach this wonderful Christ. And so he says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom? And the whom is actually a reference to Jesus. After the order of Melchizedek, holding that same place demonstrated by Melchizedek in that long ago day with Abraham, and of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. But the reason they're hard to be uttered is because of this: you are dull of hearing. The Hebrews had not followed this pattern of faith. They had not followed that pattern where that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want to emphasize once again, that is the only way to get that kind of faith in our lives, is directly because of the word of God. And it is so important that we understand that. I know that, as I've said, this is something I fear that is lost in the church and in society and certainly among the nations today. But I'm speaking to us who would desire the fullness and the perfection of the faith in our own lives and experience. And so Paul points out the problem here. You are dull of hearing. Again, he is using the nation of Israel as an example here, pointing directly to them. In verse 11, we read that, or verse 12 rather, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Israel will occupy this place in the millennium. They will be teachers of all the rest of the Gentiles. Another place Paul uses himself as an example, he says he is one born out of due time. What did he mean by that? Paul's primary ministry was to the Gentiles. The primary ministry of the nation of Israel will also be to the Gentile nations. They are going to instruct them. Isaiah is full of that glorious truth and teaching. The Jews, after they accept their Messiah, they are going to instruct. They are going to teach. They are going to lead by example all these Gentile nations in following Christ and understanding Him. And so this was God's purpose from the very beginning. But at this particular time, Paul points out the fact that when you should have been teachers, when you ought to have been teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles. It means that, yes, they had been born again. They had accepted those first principles of justification by faith and things of this nature, but then they had stopped. They had enlarged upon the things of the law, and that is never going to lead. The law can never lead a person to the fullness of the knowledge of the faith that there is in Christ Jesus. And so he says, you need for someone to teach you again, which be the first principles again, notice here, of the oracles or the word of God. And then you are become those that have need of milk and not of meat. This really is exactly the same problem that Paul had with the Gentile Christians at Corinth. We find out that they too were simply involved with the meat, the milk rather. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, because hitherto you were not able, neither yet now are you able. Even at that present time, the Corinthians still demanded milk rather than meat. The simplicity of things, they had not gone on exactly as these same Hebrew Christians here are accused of doing at this time. And so as we read here that you have need of milk and not of strong meat. Strong meat refers to the depths of God's word. It refers to the depths of the faith. And these saints had not gone there. They had not entered into that. And so Paul tells them, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in what? The word of righteousness. That pattern of learning, that pattern that we found there in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that had been eliminated from their lives, the way that they had gone here at this time. And so everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. Verse 14, strong meat belong to those that are full age. And notice how it's expressed here, even those who by reason of use. By reason of use is exactly the same truth as we find there in Romans. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That pattern must be followed if men are going to attain unto the faith that the Apostle Paul has outlined here. And so, we come to chapter 6 again, verse 1. Therefore, because of all of these things that I have outlined, Paul says, I dearly love the Word of God when it constantly puts forth the fact that God not only presents the problem, God presents the solution. There are many in our world that can point out one problem right after three, but do nothing about it. God's word is not that way. Paul points out a massive problem with these people, in essence telling them, you did not hear, you did not listen, and therefore you are not built up in the faith. You are not growing up into Christ in all things. And so he says, therefore, because of what I've said here, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. This tells us that, yes, it is wonderful to be born again. It is wonderful to know that by grace through faith you are saved, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is wonderful to experience that. But that is just the basic principle of the oracle of God and the righteousness which is by faith. Just that born again experience. And so we read, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is none other, just doctrine simply means teaching. And Scripture once again bears out the same thing that Paul has been exhorting here. We're talking about the Word of God. The faith of God indeed is the Word of God, as we have noted. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for all of the teaching that we need in this present life. Also good for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. All of these things, this is what God's word will do. Paul is trying to emphasize to these Hebrew Christians how that they must pursue this word of God, to hear the word in order that faith might be counted, in order that faith might be translated, so to speak, into their own experience. They must hear in order for faith to be in their own lives. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to notice another point here, which is extremely important for men to realize. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Then he adds this, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. When these Hebrew Christians persisted on following the law, they were calling for another foundation to be laid than that which was already laid. They were actually denying the wonderful work of redemption that Jesus had already accomplished. When men fail to follow in the same path, that is, when men fail to lay hold of the fact that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, when men fail to pursue the wonders of the faith, they are in essence calling for another foundation to be laid. That foundation was laid at the cross. That foundation is complete. That foundation is secure. And so it is actually an insult when men refuse to lay hold of what Christ has already done. They're calling for something more to be done, and there is nothing left to be done in this matter. And so we find here that Paul cautions them, don't lay again, try to lay again this foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works is just repentance from the ways of the law. Don't lay that foundation again. It's already been done. All we need to do now is to believe what God has said. Simply believe the word that he has given unto us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so it is. You don't lay the foundation of faith toward God, which has already been completed. And so in the next few weeks, we are going to be seeing a number of times the term the faith. And so let us remember, when the scripture speaks of the faith, he's actually talking about the scriptures, talking about the word of God. And this is what we must have in our lives, a constant diet, a constant attitude of appreciation and longing and appropriation of the scripture, the faith, the word of God in our own lives.